Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
How's everybody doing on their Bears patience? You doing okay? Because this is the nothing going on officially part of the NFL season. There's nothing happening. No OTAs to cover. No mini camps with me reporting at Halas Hall. Nothing is happening right now up until later July. And for the Bears, they report to training camp on July 19th. And I'm just wondering how, if you are able to have a little Bears discipline. I don't have Bears discipline. I think about the Bears just about every day, just about every single day. I'm thinking something about the Chicago Bears and what is going on with that organization. And it feels like now more than ever that the sports fans, sports consumers, sports professionals in this town, everybody really needs the Bears right now, just because, for multiple reasons. But baseball's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. The Cubs and the White Sox and the seasons that they have had do not keep the interest as fascinating as, obviously, the Chicago Bears. The Caleb Williams part brings it up to another level. And I tried this last night at the Birdo Center as I was covering the Bulls draft last night with Chuck Swirsky. And, you know, we had Ryan Porth out there as he was helping out, sitting next to us at the table, getting everything going. We had our intern out there, Peter Hansen. There you go, Peter. I remembered. Peter Hansen. Great night last night, Peter. You know, everybody is out there, and I try, we're all talking about the Bears, you know, and like, oh man, can't wait for the Bears. This has just been, you know, it's been a slog through all this baseball. And what I told them was, my analogy is, and I'll try it on a 50,000 watt radio station instead of behind the scenes, but I will tell you, the workshopping was very difficult, tough crowd. I look at the Chicago Bears similar to the way Native Americans treated the buffalo, that they all needed every single part of the bear, that of the buffalo, that they used every single thing that for good, for their survival, for their existence. That's what the Bears are for this town. Like, we all feed off of them. We good or bad, we need the Bears in our life. We need them to be practicing or playing or showing up somewhere doing something at all times. That's just like, we all feed off of it. And no matter what, you might be the biggest Cubs or White Sox fans or Bull or Blackhawks, but you still need the Bears. So I hope that I presented that a little bit better than maybe I did last night, or maybe it just wasn't getting the right result. Cody Westerlund was kind of looking at me, what are you talking about, man? You know, 5 minutes before we do a Bulls show. But that's kind of what I look at the Bears landscape as, that it's just, it keeps us all in business, right down to the food vendors, to the fans, to the publications. We all kind of feed off of the Bears, and there is no conversation about the Bears that is off limits. Somehow, when we were discussing that, it led to a kicker conversation. I was like, see, there it was. We just had a kicker conversation just now because of the Bears. We use every part of the Bears in this city as well, and now more than ever. This is building towards something. Training camp gets underway in a few weeks still down the road. One of the teams on the Bears schedule right off the bat is, here at Soldier Field, the Tennessee Titans. And this is just a little sample, I think, of what the Bears are going to be hearing a lot of this year and what Caleb Williams is going to have to be ready for. And quite frankly, Caleb Williams may be dishing some of it out just because of how supremely confident he is. But this was Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons on the Rich Eisen show talking about Caleb Williams and talking about the Bears and talking about that opening game.
You, Jeffrey Simmons, week one of the National Football League season, will be the first human being on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Pain
in
nails.
In a game.
Pain in nails.
I can't wait to say that to him.
For right. Caleb Williams. So, that's you've got that plan?
Oh, it's going to, yeah, it's going to be one of them games, especially, I mean, he probably get smack talk to his, by, yeah. you know, his teammates right now, but, like, it's going to be, especially a game like that, my first game, like, of course, I missed the last end of the season.
Right.
It's going to be the first game of the season. They got us coming to Chicago. He going, all the hype going to be around them, of course, so it's like, that's going to, I think when especially like even primetime games, cause you know, everybody like the, I wish I would have played the Miami game, but like everybody to count Tennessee out,
right?
Which we all know. And a game like Chicago, now I'm sure they thinking we about to get beat out the like bad. So that also make me even talk more smack and boost me up a little more, make me get in a different mode as well. So I'll be in a different mode that game.
I can't wait for the first snap of the first game of Caleb Williams' professional regular season career. Just keep my ear peeled to hear painted nails.
Yeah,
painted fingernails? Is that what it's going to is that the plan?
I'm not going
Okay.
It's going to come out, but it's not probably going to come out as clean as you said it.
Yeah, you know why? Because he's going to have Titans suck painted on those fingernails. You got that, Jeffrey Simmons, on the Rich Eisen show? Yeah, that, I like that. I mean, it all just sounded like friendly stuff that the Bears might have to be dealing with this year. I like the idea that the Bears are going to be targeted, that because of all the hype. And hey, you know what? We've seen some of that within this Bears team this year. I mean, the Bears defense is very good, or good. I think that's where I leave them. They're good. But there's that extra level, or has been, from the live practices that we've gotten to see as a media, that the Bears defense is properly motivated. And, you know, it's the nature of defense to kind of play hyped up like that. And they've obviously been together for a while. But it's, you know, it's very interesting to see them kind of go into that next level, because it's Caleb. So I think for a couple of them, I mean, they look at it as a challenge. This is a good quarterback. This is this super generational quarterback that everybody's talking about. Let's see what it's like going up against this guy. And then there's also the part, like, as always is, it seems like, what about us? What about the defense? Nobody's talking about us. So, you know, they are properly motivated. That is for sure. 312-644-6767 is the number. We might be having a conversation with Stacey King just a little bit later on. We're having some connection issues, but we are hoping that Stacey King will join us to talk a little bit more about the Bulls. But if you want to jump in and talk about the Bears right now, if you need your fix, I'm here to provide that for you at 312-644-6767. And just when I think about training camp coming, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, maybe I need to, like, actually write down a schedule of things I'm going to accomplish every single day, because there's just so many different storylines. And some of it comes at you on their schedule, obviously. Well, really a lot of it, you know, we're at their mercy in terms of what players are brought to the table that we get to talk to and all of that. But there are just so many different things that we'll be wanting to watch, and so much of it will be obviously Caleb Williams. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Keenan Allen. That was a guy that I was thinking about yesterday. And the reason I was thinking about Keenan Allen was in relation to the fact that I believe his entire future with the Bears is completely dependent upon Rome Odunze. Like, I don't believe that the Bears are rushing to do a long-term deal with Keenan Allen, but You know, if Roma Dunze struggles, if he gets injured, or and they can, if there's enough of a sample size, and they're not ready to turn things over to Rome, then there's a scenario where, in, towards the end of the season or at the end of the season, they attempt to bring him back. But that's just one little thing. There's a little something for you right there, Bears fans. But I am now being told that we have Stacey King joining us, the longtime Bulls broadcaster, also the host of one of my favorite podcasts, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. I've used the product. It is absolutely delicious. And check this out, Stacey King. I had Chinowski on the other day, one of your co-hosts of the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. So I wanted to make sure I evened it out and brought on the King.
Well, you know what? Anything for you, Mark. You're the only guy who can get me to come on right now.
Oh, man. Man, I do appreciate that. And I know that there are large things going on right now. So I will not keep you on forever. Stacey, what did you think about the draft last night, or the idea of Matas Buzelis? Because I know that he's not had a huge sample size of playing that has been right in front of us.
I'm happy with it. I think it's a great pick. This is a kid that a lot of the publications had gone anywhere from number one to five. And like any draft, Mark, there's going to be guys that slip and fall out of the places where they think they may be, based off of a lot of different reasons. Maybe he tested badly. Maybe he had a bad interview. Maybe he was out of shape when he came in to work out. I don't think it wasn't the case with this kid. I just think that, you know, there was other players that other teams wanted, which worked in the Bulls' favor. They got a kid I think is going to be the steal of the draft. When you look back on this draft, he's going to probably be the best player.
Yeah, I hope that is the case. Talking to Stacey King. All right, what did you think about the Josh Giddey deal? The Alex Caruso to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey. What did you think?
Well, of course, I'm a big Alex Caruso fan. I love the way the kid plays, the way he handles himself. Ultimate professional. All the guys on this team are pros. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine. You hate to see any of these guys go, but you also know this is a business and everybody's tradable. And the situation came up for the Bulls to, you know, to get better at a position they definitely needed, point guard. You know, Josh Giddey is 21 years old. He's 6'7", 6'8", point guard. Kind of similar to, you know, what Lonzo Ball brings to the table. Big guard that can rebound, push the ball in transition, make his teammates better. You know, of course, you hate to see, you know, Caruso leave, but, you know, he was one of the bigger trade pieces the Bulls had. And, you know, it seems like now, listening to Arturas, you know, it seems like the Bulls are going to start going younger now and start building around their young core.
Yeah, it does feel like that, man. And to that end, what are your thoughts right now? And I know this is a fluid situation with opinions and with actions that are either happening with the Bulls or not happening with the Bulls. What do you think becomes of DeMar DeRozan, who is a free agent, and Zach LaVine, who sure feels like they're making every effort to trade?
Well, it's tough. It's a tough situation to be in because both these guys are well-liked by their teammates. They're well-liked by the organization, especially DeMar. You know, DeMar is the ultimate pro, a mentor to these young guys. And for that reason alone, you know, you hate to see, you know, him have to go somewhere else. But, you know, this is a business. And, you know, as much as I love DeMar, you know, DeMar's on the wrong side of you know, 30 years old. I mean, he's like 35 years old. And that has to play in, you know, in the decision-making from the front office. You know, you want to give DeMar, because he's a consummate pro, if you decide to move him, you want to give him the best chance, maybe in a sign or trade, to be able to go to a winning team and maybe get a title, which he deserved. He deserved one in Toronto. Didn't get it. Got traded before they won that championship. And he's a guy that deserves to be able to play. Now both him and Caruso, or at least Caruso right now, is on a team that's got a chance to be very good and win a championship. And if the Bulls don't re-sign DeMar, because it's going to cost a lot to re-sign him.
Yeah.
You know, they send him somewhere where he can win the championship and the Bulls can possibly get something back in return.
Yeah, sign and trade would be nice. And then, I mean, is there no scenario where LaVine comes back to the Bulls this year? Is that even possible at this point?
You never say never. I know right now it's tough, you know, because people know the Bulls are trying to move him. They've been trying to move him for, you know, since last year. Zach got hurt. I think a lot of people want to know if Zach's healthy. And I think, you know, he's a tradable piece. I personally, I would like to see him stay, but I don't make those decisions because I a guy didn't go out there and get you 25 points, you know, every night or higher are hard to come by. But if you're going to go into a youth movement, then maybe he doesn't fit, you know, your future plans, and maybe you have to move him. But that's why our tourists and those guys make the big bucks, and I sit over here in my as an armchair point guard and make comments about it.
Yeah. Well, you do it well, man. You've done it well for a whole lot of years, and now on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. Stacey King, you are a mensch for jumping on with me. I appreciate you, man. Look forward to hearing more from you and getting this even on. Like, I want more Bulls now, but it's a little ways away. We'll get that summer league cooking and hear more. So thank you, dude, for coming on. I appreciate
it. Hey, listen, you know, anytime you come on my podcast and we talk Bears all the time, and you're
right,
a Bears
man.
Insider. So we'll be looking forward to having you back on my podcast to talk Bears, baby. It's going to be a big year for the Bears.
You're darn right it is, man.
10 wins. 10 wins,
oh,
baby. 10 wins.
Oh, there it is. 10 wins.
You heard it first. 10 wins.
I like it a lot because I think I have the Bears to win 12 games this year, Stacey.
Double digits. That's all we want. Double digits.
Okay. Yep. Double digits around. Stacey, you're the best, man. Thank you.
You too, Mark. Thanks, bud.
All right, take care. That is Stacey King, the one and only Bulls broadcaster. Yeah, I do. I love going on with him and Mark Schanowski and the rest of their crew at the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. I recommend it. I recommend it. You should subscribe and watch and rate and review at a 10 on everything that they do on that podcast. So, yeah, just getting cooking there on the Chicago Bulls. It's been fun talking about the Bulls and seeing what they're doing and try to figure out what the next direction is. One question that I would have for Bulls fans too is 312-644-6767. Do you trust Arturas Karnišovas? And I know that seems like an easy question to ask. And you're like, no way, look what just happened. But I think that you should look at it a little bit more rationally, as in, look, he did do some good things, and it did look like he had a nice core that a lot of us applauded when it, you know, when you did have Lonzo Ball and you did have DeMar and Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso, and they've obviously developed. Kobe White wasn't their guy, but they have been able to develop him to some degree. Now, I think Arturas waited 1 year too long to come to the realization that core wasn't going to work. So, yeah, if you want to give him the X on the resume for that, absolutely. But I don't think that Arturas Karnišovas has done anything with the Bulls that has been egregiously bad to the point where you say, oh, there's no way I trust that guy. I mean, we're definitely looking at it a little bit more skeptically, and that's normal. Like, I'm like, okay, all right, not good. But can you now, let's take the pieces and show us you can do something with it. I mean, that's the lifespan of a GM. I think he still deserves it at this point. It's like, okay, Alex Caruso, you got Josh Giddey. You're telling us that you didn't need an extra draft pick, that's the price of Josh Giddey because Giddey is a guy that I project to be that good. Okay, all right, let's see if that is the case. So there has to be a certain amount of trust that goes into it, but I'm curious as to where you are with that trust level. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to jump in on that, or if you just want to talk about the Bears to me, like something Bears on your mind, we'd love to hear from you. And are you ready for a year's worth of trash talking and people wanting a piece of Caleb Williams? 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The School.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's going on, guys? 312-644-6767 is the phone number if you want to jump in. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. I guess I'm providing an alternative tonight. I guess I am counter programming tonight. It is a dedicated audience member that is tuned in tonight, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. 312-644-6767 is the number. Been talking about the Bulls, been weaving some Bears in there, and you know, like I said, we are open to you if you would like it. 312-644-6767. And let's start with Todd from Yorkville. Hello, Todd. You're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on, Mark? I want to first of all say I'm a longtime follower and listener of yours. I think you do a great job on the show.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You're one of the best there. So here's my theory, my perception. NBA draft. What in the effingham is going on with these picks and these people? Who are they? I watched the draft, Mark, and 80% of these guys I've never heard of before. Where are they coming from? And
France. Pretty much France.
It's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I really think that they should mandate, you know, 4 years of college. You want to be an NBA player, professional ball player, do your 4 years.
Oh, man.
Get your degree. And something similar to that. I'm not saying it's going to ever happen.
No, I know. I mean, that's such an ideal look at things. Like, why? I mean, I think I understand why you'd want to do it, but you understand that's not doing anybody any good, really.
It's not. But if you look at the last 5 years of the NBA draft, you take the top 20 players, Mark, I guarantee you half of those guys aren't even in the league right now. I'm just being serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that. And one more quick thing, Mark. Bronny James. Okay, so this kid averaged 4.4 points at USC, you know, for one season. And I know he has the cardiac problem. I get that. But what do you think about that? You think there's some big marketing stunt? Is it going to make the team, you think?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Yeah, is it a marketing stunt? Todd, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, like Bronny James did get drafted by the Lakers. Yeah, is it going to be one of those things where LeBron is going to actually think that this guy has a Bronny James is a realistic chance of being an NBA player? Like, I just don't think he is an NBA player. So I guess it probably will become a stunt, and it may not be presented that way. Like, it may just be presented as, yeah, well, we really think, you know, wink, wink, that this kid could be something, and then get him on the court at the same time. And honestly, the way LeBron is treated in this league, the power that he has, he's going to be allowed to do it. I mean, whatever he wants the end game to be with this, it's going to be up to LeBron James, because the NBA has to look. I mean, you look at LeBron, he obviously is not the same player he once was. He doesn't have the power in that way in terms of like being the best, the most elite player in the NBA, but his power is still there, in that once he does hang it up, they want this guy to be happy at that point too, because he's such an important component to promoting the NBA going forward. But now I do think that that's a good question about like how is that going to shake out? Bronny James, how is that even possible that he would be playing in an NBA game if not for LeBron being the dad? And honestly, doesn't matter to me. Yeah, if you want to, you know, kind of mess up your franchise for the sake of your child, and I don't know, maybe some of you think it's a nice story, and I guess, yeah, from a human standpoint, it's a nice, cool thing, but at the pro level, I mean, I don't know. But again, it's LeBron James. I love it, too, that the caller was talking about, like, where are these guys all coming from? And I was thinking, too, that, you know, there were three guys, I think, in the top 10, either from France or played for a French team. And, of course, you had Victor Wembanyama last year. And I'm like, is France the new superpower in basketball at this point? The number one pick to Atlanta last night from France, Zachary Richaché, was the pick. Small forward, 6'9", 195, 11 points and 4 rebounds a game, a two-way threat. I mean, he did turn, like, as far as the NBA mock drafts go, he was the most consistently, I mean, it became towards, in the last few days, it felt like everybody had jumped on the Zachary Richaje bandwagon. And it really, the top, what was it, top three at least, fell right into place. The Alex Sarr ended up going to the Wizards, played for from France, but played for the Perth Wildcats of Australia. Did Alex Sarr, the center, 7'1", 205. A guy that can impact the game defensively right away, and then we'll see if he can come up with some sort of offensive game. But yeah, I mean, I found out about a week ago that I would be hosting a Bulls draft show, so I had to cram and familiarize myself as best I could with some of these guys, having not been a big watcher of college basketball. Even in doing the research, these are not guys that – this is not a great draft. And, you know, there will be wins from this draft, and maybe we will be talking about Zachary Richaje as being a big-time superstar in the NBA. I hope we are. But it's names like that and Donovan Clingan, the couple of UConn guys, Stephon Castle and Donovan Clingan out of UConn, and those are guys at least that people know from watching UConn win yet another title. But yeah, no, I hear you, and that's the way I do this like every year. Well, maybe not every year, but I always try to make it a point to add more college basketball to my viewing, because it's just good, like healthy, to see who the prospects are that could be heading to the NBA. And it's another sport that I know there's people listening who are college basketball fans. And then it just falls off. And I obviously have a lot of other responsibilities that keep me watching certain other things a lot more closely in the sporting world and our Chicago landscape. How about this? I'm interested in being more interested in college basketball. Perhaps I will leave it at that. 312-644-6767. If you want to talk about the Bulls and the direction that they are going, and if you are trusting of Arturas Karnišovas, 312-644-6767 is the number. Arturas Karnišovas is quite the character. Not in the crazy carnival show character, but by no means, but he just, and I understand it's just the way
he speaks.
It's
been a long day, so sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Like his mode of speaking is just so bored. It's so bored. And like, it's just like there's these great questions that the Bulls beat writers are asking. And then every question is met with like, he is depressed and it's just life is awful. Just the tone of Arturas Karnišovas makes it sound like times are tough. And I'm not just saying in basketball, his voice is like, could be used in a Times Are Tough documentary, whatever tough times you want to talk about. Like if we play a little Arturas here, Tyler, just to give people the voice with what I'm talking about. Could Arturas Karnišovas pull off some of these documentaries? I don't know. But it is very interesting to think about that Arturas could have a future in doing things like that as well. But on the serious side of Arturas, he has done some things well, waited a little bit too long to put this puppy back together, and now it's your stage once again. 312-644-6767. If you want to jump on, we will take a break right now. I am Mark Grody. Get to be here with you until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome in. I am Mark Grody. Here with you until 9 o'clock on The Score. 312-644-6767. Been quite a day around my parts today. It happens to all of us. There was an outage today, an internet outage, and cable outage, and lucky for me, I happened to just be watching the Cubs game, just in the name of watching the Cubs and getting ready for tonight's show. So it worked out perfectly that I was still able to turn on the Odyssey app and listen to, I mean, I should be listening to them anyway. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman call the game. So it was an absolute pleasure. I still don't, and that somehow there was collateral damage on the way to this point, and that is for some reason my TV is not working properly right now. And it's something I did. I know it's something that I did when I panicked and started unplugging all sorts of things before I learned that there was actually an outage in my area. But that's what I have to contend with after I get off the air. How in the world am I going to sit around for the next 3 hours and watch TV if my TV isn't working? So that is the conundrum I am under. But, it was so good to hear the Pat and Ron take us through what turned out to be a way too entertaining Cubs win, 5-3 over San Francisco. Ian Happ with the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th. Rough sledding to get there, though, but they did end up getting the win. And we'll circle back to that moment again. I think I want to play that moment, the play-by-play and Coomer's analysis after the sixth inning mishap. I think I want to do that again because it just sounded so good in my ears when I heard it live, and then I played it earlier at the beginning of the show. It's like almost just such a classic sounding call where two broadcasters were at a 10 in terms of what they were delivering. So I'm going to circle back to that here in a second. But as I said, we are open for you. 312-644-6767. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Arlington Heights. Hello, Tom. You're on the score.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So I'm really disappointed that the Bulls, they had a chance to actually make a great move in the draft and move up, take Dalton Kincaid. They didn't do that. And then I'm waiting and thinking, all right, let's go in the second round and get Flipowski. They didn't do that either. I don't know if I can take being a fan of this team anymore.
Flipowski?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filipowski.
Yeah. No, I got you. Well, I will tell you this.
Thanks for correcting my.
No. I think I might
appreciate.
I don't know which one. I don't know which one of us. Tom, I don't know which one of us was wrong or right. So don't worry. I'm not correcting you. I'm just educating myself. But I can tell you that, yeah, I mean, there was definitely some buzz in that direction for the Bulls last night, that they were, you know, some of the guys' names that came up, and Dalton Kincaid was one of them. As a matter of fact, just in the, and again, I crammed for this draft, so I don't know everything, but Dalton Kincaid became like very high up. I mean, there was all sorts of names in the mock drafts, but they were super high up in terms of Dalton Kincaid was in terms of being mocked to the Bulls at number 11. So that was a guy that people could get on board with. The only reason that I got scared away from him is Mark Schanowski talking to him the other night, and he laid it out that he believes that the comp for him would be Doug McDermott, right, who was once upon a time a Bull. And when, as Schanowski reminded me, when McDermott was in college, he could obviously make threes. We know that. But he also was able to drive to the basket and create his own shot. Well, guess what happened to him at the NBA level? He was not able to create his own shot. And, disarmed him to some degree in terms of how dangerous he was going to be on the court. And so the point is that would be Dalton Kincaid, a guy who can score and get his own shot. Will he be able to do that at the NBA level? And then you have to certainly say that if you project that he can't be a top 10 pick. But I mean, in all honesty, I was excited about him and thought that could potentially be a name for the Bulls, but it was not to be. 312-644-6767. Got a couple lines open if you want to jump in. I said that I would. Yeah, we're going back to it because, yeah, the Cubs win 5-3 over San Francisco today. Quite a ride that the Cubs always take us on. But again, Ian Happ, the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th inning. But it got, as it always does in Cubs games, and usually spills over the top for worse. But in the San Francisco 6th inning, the Cubs were up 3-0. Jorge Soler up there, 0-2 count, two outs. He's starting to foul balls off. He hits a ground rule double. This is against Shota, by the way. Ground rule double, run scores. It's 3-1. Because it was a ground rule double, jumped over the wall, the guy had to stop at third base, the base runner. I don't remember who it was, but had to stop at third. Would have scored. Instead, it's 3-1 instead of 3-2. Cubs dodge a bullet. But Imanaga, who was good today, threw a wild pitch, which allowed a run to score. 3-2 Cubs lead. And then that brings us up to one of those moments that you had your palm on your forehead. Luis Matos to the plate. It's Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on a great call.
Tying run 90 feet away. A dribbler toward first. It'll be fielded by no one. And it's a base hit, and the ball game is tied. Shota thought that Bush was going to make the play. It was too far in for the second baseman, Horner. Shota went after the ball, and when he did, Bush went back to cover first. Shota couldn't get there, and the ball game is tied on a very strange-looking infield RBI single.
Yeah, that's the split finger and just a cue shot on 2-0. And just rolls out past Imanaga. And, you know, it's one of those plays, Michael Bush with a little indecision on whether he should go for this ball or not. Does not go for it, and it ends up being a base hit.
Estrada will take a strike. I think Bush saw that Shota was going after the ground ball, so that's when he backed off of trying to glove it run and ran over to cover first. Here's a smash foul. Just a highly unusual looking run scoring single for Luis Matos.
Well, you have rules for plays like that, right? You've got rules for the first baseman and rules for the pitcher in pitcher's fielding practice. Both guys went away from the rules of what you're supposed to do.
Taken high and outside. Go ahead, Ron.
When the ball's hit to the first base side for Shota, if you're going to field the ball, you've got to stay in route going to first. If it takes you out of your route going to first, it's the first baseman's ball.
Miscommunication, and I just, like I said, I heard that live, and I just loved the call by Pat. And then the follow-up analysis by Ron Coomer, a dangerous 1-2 punch. Coom and Pat just bringing it right there. Unfortunately, it was for a rough moment, and it doesn't hurt as bad because the Cubs won. But, yeah, that there you were again. And these, man, are we bringing back a Lou Piniella's and these Cubby occurrences? Because there's been so many of them this year. Just pain. But the Cubs win. 5-3 the final. The bullpen was good. It was fine. They were fine. They got their acts back together for one day anyway. And the Sox win. They beat the Braves 1-0, man. Chad Kuhl and company get the victory. Luis Robert hits a home run. Drew Thorpe getting another start tomorrow for the White Sox. Thanks to everybody for listening and texting and calling. It means a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks to Bob Nightingale for coming on earlier tonight. 7 o'clock, if you want to hear what he has to say about the Cubs and Sox. We went in depth on both of those teams. And Stacey King dropped by for a few minutes. He wanted to talk Bulls, so we talked Bulls in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Thanks to Tyler Farengel for producing the show. Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great night here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mark Grody, beautiful man.
Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome in. I am Mark Crotty. Here with you until 9 o'clock on The Score. 312-644-6767. Been quite a day around my parts today. It happens to all of us. There was an outage today, an internet outage and cable outage, and lucky for me, I happened to just be watching the Cubs game, just in the name of watching the Cubs and getting ready for tonight's show. So it worked out perfectly that I was still able to turn on the Odyssey app and listen to, I should be listening to them anyway. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman call the game. So it was an absolute pleasure. I still don't, and that somehow there was collateral damage on the way to this point, and that is for some reason my TV is not working properly right now. And it's something I did. I know it's something that I did when I panicked and started unplugging all sorts of things before I learned that there was actually an outage in my area. But that's what I have to contend with after I get off the air. How in the world am I going to sit around for the next 3 hours and watch TV if my TV isn't working? So that is the conundrum I am under. But, it was so good to hear the Pat and Ron take us through what turned out to be a way too entertaining Cubs win, 5-3 over San Francisco. Ian Happ with the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th. Rough sledding to get there, though, but they did end up getting the win. And we'll circle back to that moment again. I think I want to play that moment, the play-by-play and Coomer's analysis after the sixth inning mishap. I think I want to do that again because it just sounded so good in my ears when I heard it live, and then I played it earlier at the beginning of the show. It's like almost just such a classic sounding call where two broadcasters were at a 10 in terms of what they were delivering. So I'm going to circle back to that here in a second. But as I said, we are open for you. 312-644-6767. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Arlington Heights. Hello, Tom. You're on The Score.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So I'm really disappointed that the Bulls, they had a chance to actually make a great move in the draft and move up, take Dalton Kincaid. They didn't do that. And then I'm waiting and thinking, all right, let's go in the second round and get Flipowski. They didn't do that either. I don't know if I can take being a fan of this team anymore.
Flipowski?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flipowski.
Yeah. No, I got you. Well, I will tell you this.
Thanks for correcting my.
No. I think I might have.
Appreciate.
I don't know which one. I don't know which one of us. Tom, I don't know which one of us was wrong or right. So don't worry. I'm not correcting you. I'm just educating myself. But I can tell you that, yeah, I mean, there was definitely some buzz in that direction for the Bulls last night, that they were, you know, some of the guys' names that came up, and Dalton Kincaid was one of them. As a matter of fact, just in the, and again, I crammed for this draft, so I don't know everything, but Dalton Kincaid became like very high up. I mean, there was all sorts of names in the mock drafts, but they were super high up in terms of Dalton Kincaid was in terms of being mocked to the Bulls at number 11. So that was a guy that people could get on board with. The only reason that I got scared away from him is Mark Schanowski talking to him the other night, and he laid it out that he believes that the comp for him would be Doug McDermott, right, who was once upon a time a Bull. And when, as Schanowski reminded me, when McDermott was in college, he could obviously make threes, we know that, but he also was able to drive to the basket and create his own shot. Well, guess what happened to him at the NBA level? He was not able to create his own shot, and disarmed him to some degree in terms of how dangerous he was going to be on the court. And so the point is that would be Dalton Kincaid, a guy who can score and get his own shot. Will he be able to do that at the NBA level? And then you have to certainly say that if you project that he can't be a top 10 pick. But I mean, in all honesty, I was excited about him and thought that could potentially be a name for the Bulls, but it was not to be. 312-644-6767. Got a couple lines open if you want to jump in. I said that I would. Yeah, we're going back to it because, yeah, the Cubs win 5-3 over San Francisco today. Quite a ride that the Cubs always take us on. But again, Ian Happ, the game-winning two-run homer in the 10th inning, but it got, as it always does in Cubs games, and usually spills over the top for worse. But in the San Francisco 6th inning, the Cubs were up 3-0. Jorge Soler up there, 0-2 count, two outs. He's starting to foul balls off. He hits a ground rule double. This is against Shota, by the way. Ground rule double, run scores. It's 3-1. Because it was a ground rule double, jumped over the wall, the guy had to stop at third base, the base runner. I don't remember who it was, but had to stop at third. Would have scored. Instead, it's 3-1 instead of 3-2. Cubs dodge a bullet. But Imanaga, who was good today, threw a wild pitch, which allowed a run to score. 3-2 Cubs lead. And then that brings us up to one of those moments that you had your palm on your forehead, Luis Matos to the plate. It's Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on a great call.
Tying run 90 feet away. A dribbler toward first. It'll be fielded by no one. And it's a base hit, and the ball game is tied. Shota thought that Bush was going to make the play. It was too far in for the second baseman, Horner. Shota went after the ball, and when he did, Bush went back to cover first. Shota couldn't get there, and the ball game is tied on a very strange-looking infield RBI single.
Yeah, that's the split finger and just a cue shot on 2-0. And just rolls out past Imanaga. And, you know, it's one of those plays, Michael Bush with a little indecision on whether he should go for this ball or not. Does not go for it, and it ends up being a base hit.
Estrada will take a strike. I think Bush saw that Shota was going after the ground ball, so that's when he backed off of trying to glove it run and ran over to cover first. Here's a smash foul. Just a highly unusual looking run scoring single for Luis Matos.
Well, you have rules for plays like that, right? You got rules for the first baseman and rules for the pitcher in pitcher's fielding practice. Both guys went away from the rules of what you're supposed to do.
Taken high and outside. Go ahead, Ron.
When the ball's hit to the first base side for Shota, if you're going to field the ball, you've got to stay in route going to first. If it takes you out of your route going to first, it's the first baseman's ball.
Miscommunication, and I just, like I said, I heard that live, and I just loved the call by Pat and then the follow-up analysis by Ron Coomer, a dangerous 1-2 punch. Coom and Pat just bringing it right there. Unfortunately, it was for a rough moment, and it doesn't hurt as bad because the Cubs won. But, yeah, that there you were again. And these, man, are we bringing back a Lou Piniella's and these Cubby occurrences because there's been so many of them this year? Just pain. But the Cubs win. 5-3 the final. The bullpen was good. It was fine. They were fine. They got their acts back together for one day anyway. And the Sox win. They beat the Braves 1-0, man. Chad Kuhl and company get the victory. Luis Robert hits a home run. Drew Thorpe getting another start tomorrow for the White Sox. Thanks to everybody for listening and texting and calling. It means a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks to Bob Nightingale for coming on earlier tonight. 7 o'clock if you want to hear what he has to say about the Cubs and Sox. We went in depth on both of those teams. And Stacey King dropped by for a few minutes. He wanted to talk Bulls, so we talked Bulls in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Thanks to Tyler Farengold for producing the show. Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great night here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yep, Mark Grody, beautiful man.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.